Micah chapter 6. Important prophet. When we were in South Carolina, my wife dedicated a whole counter to him. She told me this is for Micah. All right. Well, see if we can recover from that. Micah chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 7. And Pastor Hain, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, our desire is to receive from your Spirit what you have for us. I pray, dear Lord, that the message that Pastor has prepared, that you will lead and guide in it and bring to us what each of us has need of. Speak to my heart, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Micah chapter 6, verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And you know, a lot of times when people begin to reach out towards God, they're wondering, what do I need to bring to him? What does God require of me? What do I need to do? And he says in verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God, when he looked down at the garden, that's what he's looking for. When he looked at the nations of men, that's what he's looking for. Those who do justly, walk humbly with their God. Okay? They love mercy. So God looks for. The sad part is, people fall short of that. So much so that the story of the redemption in Christ Jesus is God taking a people and preparing them and making them able to do that. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, talking to Titus about how to handle the people in his church, he said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And of course, the people who are active in the house of God, love Jesus Christ, this should be their life, okay? That they're in mind to obey and to be good citizens and do what they're supposed to. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Everybody you meet, meekness. What is that? Well, it's the opposite of defensiveness. Right. Meekness is the opposite of defensiveness. You are never more ugly than when you become defensive. You think somebody's dissed you and you begin to handle it. You think you're being challenged and you come out and handle it. You are never more ugly and repulsive to God and man than when you're that way. Meekness is the opposite of defensiveness. God longs for it. Jesus Christ said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Okay? Meek. Pilate marveled when they were accusing this man. Marveled that he spoke not. Marveled at that. Moses was more meek than any man of the earth. It says so. It actually says it in the book of Numbers. He was more meek than any man of the earth. Does that mean he didn't take a sword and fight? He did. He killed an Egyptian. He told the Levites, get your sword. Everybody go kill your fellow. There's sin. Didn't bother him to have a man stoned to death. What was meekness then? When his own sister and brother walked up and started calling him things, and when people walked up and told him he took too much power upon himself, too much on himself, he just let God handle it. You know why you don't let God handle things? Because you don't really believe God will handle things. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You say you believe in God, but in action, you don't believe in God. Okay? Is there a God? Do you belong to Him? Have you been wronged by someone? Are they saying things about you they ought not? Is there a God? Boy, it'd be wonderful if He handled it. You know why He's never handled it for some of you? Because you go handle it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the way, God, I'll handle this. And your life shows it. So He says again, showing meekness to all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what the old life was. In Christianity, we leave the old life behind. It's amazing how much of that you find in a church. It's amazing how much you'll find in a church. Verse 4. But after that the kindness and love our God, our Savior, toward man appeared. By the way, the deity of Jesus Christ was in that verse. God, our Savior. Who's the Savior? Jesus Christ is the Savior. God, our Savior. There's a good verse for it. Okay. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that word regeneration is only in your Bible two times. Not in there any other time, but it's in there twice, though the concept is talked about many times. Regeneration. It's something a lizard can do when it loses its tail. It can regenerate that tail, okay? It's the goal. It's the holy grail for a lot of doctors of that, wondering how can we, you know, get teeth to grow again? How can we get hair to grow again? How can we get an arm to grow again? Any of that. That's called regeneration when it happens. Okay. The other time that Jesus Christ uses that term regeneration, He used it in the book of Matthew when He talked about the disciples said, "Well, what will we get?" And He said, in the regeneration, it's Matthew 19, 28, we don't need to turn there, but He said, in the regeneration, you will rule the 12 tribes of Israel. You'll rule them, okay? What is the regeneration? When God regenerates the world. When the lion lays down with the lamb. When the rivers run clean. When those six polluted cities that Brian Pratt talked about in India, they're not polluting anymore. The air is clean. It's been taken over. It's what God meant the Garden of Eden to be. You know, people talk about the afterlife. I'll be flip-flatting with grandma or whatever. We're not flip-flatting around. Go look at the Garden of Eden. It's what God intended it to be. Are there any more wonderful spots than a garden?
Right.
You know, one of the highlights of my year, it doesn't happen very often, but you know, my parents' house on Route 16 in Machias, and there's just nothing like the side door going out there and sitting near the garden. My mother's got a table out there and sitting there with a couple of chairs and sipping some coffee or iced tea or something. Just one of the most wonderful things. I've always loved that point when it talked about when God came looking for Adam, He came in the cool of the evening. Why? Because that's when Adam and God met. Cool of the evening. Nothing like that on a summer day, the cool of the evening, stepping outside. Can you imagine what it was like with Adam when God would walk up and God would talk with him? And now God can't do it anymore because man has sinned and he's defiled himself. And God longs for this time called the regeneration when He makes it all over again. And the 12 tribes are there and the 12 saved nations are part of it. And He told them, He said, in the regeneration, okay? Another place, it's called the renewing of all things, okay? The renewing of all things when God makes it over again. But you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, we have the washing of regeneration. Why can some of us ever be in a world like that? Because God took you and washed you and prepared you for that time. God made you able to be in that world. Do you know why people can't go to heaven just like they are? Because you'd turn heaven into the hell you've turned your life into. Okay,
sure.
You'd turn heaven into hell in 5 seconds. You'd stand there and be offended at people, offended at God, grouching and not liking how this was done and that's done. Stand there and look at the angel Gabriel, don't like how he does his records, and you'd do it better. And, you know, and that's what you'd be. Why? Because that's what you're here on this earth, okay? And you'd be that. So what's God do? Not only does he forgive you your sins, that's a wonderful thing, okay? Not only does he promise you eternal life, that's a wonderful thing that God would ever do that, okay? But that washing of regeneration where he renews you in the inward parts, he gives you a new nature. Now, I don't know if you ever had a phone that became corrupted or a computer that became corrupted and it's not working anymore, and seems to be my story in electronics, you know, that sooner or later most of them go that way. And, you know, and you take it to somebody, and it's a wonderful thing when they fix it. You go, wow, the computer's working again. It's doing what it's supposed to. And they always tell me, you push the right buttons, the right things happen, you know. But the thing is, they fix it. Imagine your computer having two completely different programs in it, one corrupted and one perfect. Which one would you use? I'd use the good program. Well, why don't you do that in your life? If you're born again, do you realize you have a new nature?
That's good.
Okay? That's you have a new nature that God's made, and yet the Bible witnesses that old nature is still with you. Okay? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Why? Because that old corrupt nature is still with you. Come in here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And you do. You meant it when you said it. You weren't a hypocrite. But then you go out there and something happens and you tell the new nature, I'll handle this. I'll take care of this my way. Oh, I know how to handle this. And no one ever sees the victory in Christ Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Most weeks, most Sundays, I come in here on Saturday night and put the verses down of what I'm going to preach. And I've thought about them all during the week. It's kind of been laid on my heart. I'll come in here Saturday and I do that. Then I'll read over the Sunday school lesson. Very rarely do I ever put the 1 o'clock message down. Most of the time I have a better idea what to preach at 1 o'clock when I'm done here at the 11, okay? One of the aspects of my notes, if you ever found my notebooks, they're distinctly unedifying. It's just one of these goofy things where all I do is write down verses. These are the verses that came into my heart during the week. I know that if I turn to them, that I'll remember what I want to say about it. Again, I go back to something. I have a cousin who got a doctorate from Purdue in biology, and he wrote his doctoral thesis, his PhD paper, on sorghum syrup. What? Sorghum syrup, which actually is the number one nutrition in India, the number one way people live, sorghum syrup. And I said, sorghum syrup? He says, yeah. He said, millions more people in India will live now because of my work. Hmm. What did he do for a living? He got a job with a supermarket chain in Ohio looking at tea leaves. All right, why? Because he don't make much money doing sorghum syrup. And so, you know, he would go around in the tea markets of the world and he'd find the right tea for whatever supermarket chain that was in Ohio, and he'd, you know, find the right tea for it so that they had good tea. And if you've noticed, some supermarket chains have good products, okay? And that's one of the reasons they hired him, and he went around, and that's what he did for them. And what's he doing today? Well, he's the chief scientist for Dad's Dog Foods, all right? And, you know, so your dog can be thankful or whatever. But regardless of that, only one time did he ever come and visit here, and he asked me afterwards, he said, John, how do you know to say all that stuff? And I said, Tom, I said, if I went to Dad's Dog Foods right now and I pointed to some ingredients and asked you, why did you use that, would you have to go look at notes? No, I wouldn't. Why? Because you think about it all day long. And if I asked you, what if we change this? Would you have to get, no, I wouldn't. I think about it all day long. I say, I don't need to have all sorts of notes because I think about this stuff, well, all day long. I don't want to lie to you. But I think about it a lot. All right? I spend time in this book. Take me to the woods around my parents' place. Take me out behind the fence out there and the hill and the swamps and where the Ishuai Creek runs around and does this curve and runs down what used to be old Andy McGarvey's land and goes under a fence there. Take me to any one of those places. See if you can make me get lost in it. Why? Because I just spent so much time there. Okay? And all I want these notes to do is to take me to a place in that Bible where I have spent time. Me and God have been together there, okay? I may not understand it perfectly, but me and God have spent time together there. And I just know that if I can get to that spot again, me and God are going to be rich there. Now, I tried to teach Dale to do that. It did not work for Dale. It's not his style. Pastor Haynes showed him how he does it. That's working for Dale, okay? Every man has to do it how God shows him, okay? This is the way God showed him to do it. But the rarest thing in the world, and by the way, if you ever find my, I'll go find my own notebooks, and I have no idea why I wrote any of those verses down. I have no idea. I could never, if I went to preach that message again, I'd have no idea. I'd probably say all different things about that passage or whatever. And then I'll find a grocery shopping list next. Go along with Wednesday night prayer list. Then I'll find a couple of messages again. I was going through one and found a note that said, please don't tow my van, we'll be back to get it. I barely remember the incident or whatever, but it's all just part of it. You know, it's just whatever's the latest notebook. But the rarest thing in the world for me to do is to write anything down next to one of those verses, and I had to do it this week. Because somewhere right about where Chelsea and Nader sit, come around that corner, God seized my heart with a thought about all of this, and it was so wonderful. And the thought came into my heart, go write this message now. And just like my children always did, I would explain, no. I'll do it later. An hour later, I went in there, and I could not remember what God and I had been talking about over in that corner. And I sorrowed. I could not remember what it was, and I sorrowed. And I finally went to the Lord, and I told him, I said, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember his dream. And what a grace you gave to Daniel. What a grace you gave to him. That great God of Israel that came to Daniel and revealed that secret. I said, Lord, I'm both Nebuchadnezzar and I need to be Daniel. And somewhere in about an hour that God brought it back to me. Amen. So I wrote down the note. I put it here. And I went to bed with joy that night because God had been so good. So good to allow me to go back to whatever that was that he and I had been discussing there when I disobeyed him and didn't go in and write that down then at that moment. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness. Holiness is something that people try to duplicate all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, a lot of people realize my wife's on a keto diet. And she struggles with it. She's very cyclical about it. Very hard time with it. But she'll always come to a point where she thinks to herself, I can get by with some kind of artificial sugar. I know when she's taking it because she's sick as a dog. You've been eating artificial sugar. Oh, shut up. Doesn't matter what kind it is, all right? She just makes her sick as a dog. It just doesn't work well with her. She's just better off stay away from all of it. Any kind whatsoever. Doesn't work for her. Well, you know, artificial holiness is like that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And here's what we were thinking about, the Lord and I. What does God require of a man? To do justly, mm-hmm. To walk humbly, love mercy, Why don't we do that? Because inside we're not built that way. So what does God do? God washes us with that washing of regeneration. He makes you someone who can do that on the inward parts.
That's good.
He changes you to become that. And that is holy.
Uh-huh.
Miss Leanna's carrying little Malachi there. And he's just a baby. But he's ever as much a kuntz as any kuntz has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
He's ever as much Leanna's child as any of the other eight are.
Amen.
But he can't walk. He can't talk. He's just a babe. Imagine me making a robot. It's more alive than your baby. Look, it can walk. I can make it repeat words. You'd say, no, you don't understand. It's not the same. It's not this loving thing holding on to me with this little personality. And that's what religion is like, where people try to put holiness on the outside. They think, oh, I'll dress different, it'll be okay.
Mm.
I'll quit swearing, it'll be okay. I'll quit smoking cigarettes, it'll be okay. I'll start going to church, it'll be okay. I'll start doing this. Think of a person with horrible disease. Putting on a suit won't do a thing for them. They still have that disease. It's still there. It's oozing out of them. Instead, how much better to have the beggar, the cripple, that's that leper on there healed by Jesus Christ. Do you think suddenly he had a brand new set of clothes? You think suddenly all the pus and gore from those clothes was off of him after Jesus Christ healed him? Nothing of that sort. The world would look at him. They might see him rejoicing and think, yeah, but I'm dressed better than you. We have people in this church who become babes in Christ. We've heard Ronnie preach a couple of times. We went over there. Some of you went over to Sio. He did a terrible job.
Yes, sir.
And he knew it. Terrible job. I chewed him out. Okay? I chewed him out for some of the words he used. I said, God doesn't use those words. Okay? Here's the words God would have used. Okay? You know why? Because he's a babe. He's a babe. And there are preachers who would have walked over there who have no holiness, who would have done far better. But it's like taking that robot and saying, ha, 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 our robot can walk, Malachi can't. Okay? Our robot can talk, Malachi can't do it. He's more human than that. No, not at all. Ronnie will never become a good preacher until he goes over and fails in those kind of things. An athlete's never good until he goes out there and disobeys everything the coach told him. All right? And then the coach looks at him and says, you see why I told you? Oh, that's why you told me that. Yeah, that's why I told you that. All right? That's why I told you. Holiness is something born on the inside by God in the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's something born in there of which begins to fill that person, and they learn to let that fill them and take over their life and make them handle each of the things that happen. We have a lot of people in this church going through a lot of different things in life. Okay? I get phone calls sometimes from Miss Jody. And if you could just be in on one of those phone calls and her agony of the stuff going on, the agony of how do I handle this? And we'll talk and go over what went right, what went wrong, where God showed his hand, where God needs her to handle something a little bit different or whatever else. And then I'll tell her again what God has put you in the middle of. There are people all over Allegheny County who need to see you get victory in this because they think nobody can ever rescue a family. We're just too far gone. And he's got Jody now sitting there and taking this family and step by step trying to pull them out of the agony of generations of filth and nonsense in a family and hatred and misery. and ignorance. And you know my hope in it? I believe holiness was born into her. I believe the washing of regeneration has happened in her. I believe that. I don't believe it of some of you. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. This means that currently I'm not convinced. Okay? And so I believe that Jesus Christ wants to take her and take this miserable situation, which again you can multiply all over Allegheny County. Knock on doors all over. They're all in agony in there and on drugs and full of hatred and full of misery and children who can't find happiness or joy and full of depression and horror and hatred. And yet, by the grace of God, Jesus Christ has stepped into a family, taken a woman, and sanctified her unto himself. And my honor to be that pastor.
Amen.
Holiness without which no man shall see God. And what we look for is God to take and begin to slowly fill that person and show them how holiness can work in each of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Go with me to Romans chapter 8. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? To do justly. Love mercy. What's it mean to love mercy? It means that person you want to strangle because they've done the same thing 22 times in a row, that you love mercy. And then if you did have to come down and you did have to bring the rod, you hate it because you love mercy and you long to have mercy and you long to show mercy to people. You love to show mercy. People think of you as a merciful person. You show mercy. Mercy in your opinions. Mercy in your private talk with your family about others. Mercy, it comes pouring out of your mouth. Pouring out of your mouth. Pouring out of your soul. Pouring out of what you are. You love mercy. It's what the washing of regeneration will do. It's what the renewing of the Holy Ghost will do. It'll make you that way. If not, chances are holiness is just a suit of armor you put on, hiding a diseased individual. Romans chapter 8, we'll go real quickly, we'll end with this. Romans 8, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Why is the whole creation groaning? Because it's a sin-sick world. The ground hates your sin. The sky hates your sin. The trees hate your sin. The birds hate your sin. The worms in the soil hate your sin. It's a sin-sick world. It says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits of the Spirit. Mm. Yeah, do you realize one day the Spirit of God's going to make it all over again?
Mm-hmm.
The lion will lay down with the lamb. A child can play in the hole of an asp and not worry. Says the lion will eat straw like an ox. Nations will come to Jerusalem bringing their gifts to God. And it says we have the first fruits of that. Do you realize that new nature inside of a believer, that when God sees it, he won't change it ever.
Yeah.
It's the first fruits of what he's making for eternity.
Yes.
It's the first fruits of what will always go on forever. He won't change any of it. He longs for that. He loves that. And so we ourselves groan, just like nature does, over our own sin. Because there's no one in here who's gotten rid of their sin. That old nature is still with you. It's still there. But God's trying to teach you to walk in that new nature. To walk in the holiness of Jesus Christ, to walk with God. The uncorrupted program, not the corrupt one. Even we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. And then he explains, that's the rapture, to which the redemption of our body. The adoption is the rapture. The adoption is the rapture. He tells you that. Okay? Why? Because my new man inside is born of God. This body here was born of Russell Maynard Asquith Jr. in Salamanca back in 1954. Okay? Back when they used to do babies in Salamanca. My father said they used to cut the umbilical cord with a tomahawk. All right? But God one day will make this body his. He'll adopt it. This body will never be born again. He'll take this body into heaven and say, I'll be the father to that body. I'll be the father to that. That's the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies, okay? And he'll take that up there. But until then, in this old corrupt body, groaning, God wants you to walk justly. He wants you to love mercy. He wants you to walk humbly with him. That's what he desires. And since it's beyond what a human can be, he gave Jesus Christ to wash you and to cleanse you. Pastor Hain.
In your songbook, please.